Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Our head of production, Seth Habegger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. In a little bit, we'll get into some entertainment news. And then a little after that, 10 things everyone does but never talks about.
No,
never talks. We keep it hush voice. We're talking about that.
QT on the down low.
We've already talked too much about it.
We've said too much.
We've got all of those things coming up for you, everybody. But it is a Monday and the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today we're going to cover a timely topic and discuss milk.
Aren't you lactose intolerant?
Yes. And?
Seems like a little like giving yourself a paper cut and pouring lemon juice on it.
Kind of like, same, but a little bit like me going to like a sleep convention.
Yeah.
Like a little,
like, oh. Right? The what not to do guy? Yeah, don't do what I do.
Or we could be talking about milk because the news of it over the last month about the avian flu infecting cattle herds across the nation and the recent possibly unsettling news for some that fragments of the virus are being found in the commercial milk supply.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, this is an intense one, and it's one that we touched on a little bit here at the station. We've heard news of it in Melissa's breaks, and I think for a lot of people, I'm not alone on this one. This is a topic that I have not been able to dive that deeply into. With all the 24-hour news cycles and these things and different stuff going on, things that slip through the cracks every once in a while, I appreciate so much when we're able to take a moment and talk about them.
Hopefully we can answer some of your questions today.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Seth?
Oh, sorry. Lost my spot. Well, since you don't drink milk, I suppose you'll spend the segment lording that over us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could. But I do ingest some milk here and there, so I'm not completely out of the loop on this. And I ingested way too much of it last weekend. But we won't talk about that. plus, according to multiple experts, the commercial milk supply is safe.
You mean I can still buy my beloved chocolate milk? I am not going to catch some bird flu if I drink it. I am very relieved by that. I don't know how to fly. So I don't know how well that would work.
Well, yes, you can buy your chocolate milk. You have to drink something other than coffee for pizza.
Hey, I drink water every once in a while. You've heard me wax poetically about how much I love our water here at the station. And in fact, I'm like 70% water. Do you know that,
everybody? Let's not stray too far off the topic here. But James, technically, you're 60% water already. Though your lungs are about 83%, your brain and heart are around 70, and your skin is 64% water. Heck, even your bones are watery at about 31%.
Wow.
Hey, let's focus here, guys. We're talking about milk, not water.
I know, okay. but water.
Is it milk mostly water?
It's true. Mind blown. Wait
okay,
a minute.
We're gonna pull
if we're made so much of water, does that mean we're always swimming?
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry. Keep going, Melissa.
Focus, James.
Yes.
We're going to pull from several articles, as well as the Food and Drug Administration, the Center for Disease Control, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture websites.
NPR posted an article last week, Wednesday, titled, What Consumers Should Know About the Milk Testing Positive for Bird Flu. It's a thoroughly written and researched article by Joe Hernandez, and worth the read if you have time. The long and short of it is, the milk supply is safe.
Samuel L. Kane is a Cornell University food science professor. He's quoted in the article saying, there are no safety concerns, L. Kane said of milk with traces of bird flu. I'm still buying my milk from my local grocery store. Hmm.
But what about the announcement that 1 in 5 commercial milk samples contain traces of the virus, you ask? Well, this is where we get to talk about pasteurization.
Pasteurization destroys harmful bacteria? Yeah. Wait, that's a good question. If the bird flu is destroyed during the pasteurization process, why is it still there?
Because even though the high temperatures used during pasteurization kills the harmful bacteria, it doesn't erase all traces of a virus.
Mm.
Samuel gives an interesting analogy on this in the NPR article. He says some genetic material may be left behind, such as DNA or RNA, the instructions that tell the virus what to do. He says it's similar to this. A car gets in an accident. It's no longer functioning. You can't drive it. It doesn't do anything that a car doesn't do anything that a car does. But you sift through the rubble and you can still find the instruction manual that tells you how it works. There you go.
That was a really great analogy.
Yes.
Yeah, there's the pieces are still there, but they're not active.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing to keep in mind with not just this disease, but a lot of these kind of things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tests may be showing the virus used to be there, but it's not functioning like it would have before being blasted with heat.
Speaking of heat, let's talk about the pasteurization process for a minute. According to Wikipedia, it's been around since A.D. 1117.
Wow.
In China, they were heating wine for preservation purposes.
Wow.
Cool.
By the 1700s, it seems to have gone hand in hand with the development of canning food. During this time, they were doing experiments to find ways to preserve food.
Ah, yes. The Italian priest and scientist, Lazzaro Spallanzani, who proved a liquid could be made sterile after heating it to boiling and sealing it in a container.
And then, in the 1860s, Louis Pasteur developed the method for killing bacteria to extend the shelf life of wine in particular. Wikipedia says the thermal processing would deactivate unwanted microorganisms in wine. Spoilage enzymes are also inactive during pasteurization.
They used pasteurization to increase the keeping qualities of butter in Great Britain in the 18th century, and it was introduced into Boston in the British colonies as early as 1773. But it was not widely practiced over the next 20 years, and raw milk was responsible for the transmission of many diseases.
Man, the CDC says improperly handled raw milk is responsible for nearly 3 times more hospitalizations than any other food-borne disease source.
The list of diseases prevented by pasteurization is a little startling. It includes tuberculosis, brucellosis, diphtheria, scarlet fever, and Q fever. The heating process also kills harmful bacteria such as Salmonella, Listeria, Yersinia. thanks, by the way, Melissa. I appreciate that. Yeah, Campylobacter, Staph, and E. coli among them.
So with that list of possible diseases pasteurizing milk prevents, why would anyone want to drink raw milk? I'm honestly asking you.
Yeah.
Well, people who are proponents of drinking raw milk claim it has more vitamins and minerals than pasteurized milk, and your body can process it easier. According to an article on bonappetit.com, Mark McAfee, CEO and founder of Organic Pastures, claims raw milk is non-allergenic, full of good bacteria, and the ultimate immune booster. However, raw milk is actually illegal in 31 states, and only 19 states allow it to be sold in retail stores. Between 1998 and 2011, there were 148 raw milk-related outbreaks, 2,384 illnesses, 284 hospitalizations, and 2 deaths, according to the CDC.
Nothing to take lightly about any of that.
Mm-mm.
And on that note, I do feel an obligation to mention that my family and I, for many years, were involved in milk bootlegging and getting the not pasteurized milk around the country. And I'm not proud of this, but we did this a lot. We a lot of bootlegging of milk. No, but this is something I looked a little bit into, and in all seriousness, I did look into this a little bit, and there are people that are incredibly passionate about this.
Yeah,
I had never even heard about this until reading the what you had sent over, Melissa. I thought that was really interesting. It's a whole subsection that I had never even heard of.
For a while, when I was growing up, my family would get our milk from a nearby dairy. I mean, really close by dairy, and we would get the raw milk, but it was from the right there.
Yeah.
So it was, we knew it was fresh. And after a while, we just, for whatever reason, we just went to regular, store-bought milk. But that would be like the only way I would buy raw milk is if it's like right there at the dairy.
Well, and the thing with raw milk, pasteurizing it, it extends the shelf life of milk.
Yes.
If you get raw milk, it tastes different from day to day to day.
It does, yes.
Oh, yeah,
because it starts to quickly, just starts to deteriorate.
Break down,
separate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You got your whey and your cream and your, and eventually it will curdle.
Yep.
Huh. Quite a bit quicker than, you buy a gallon of milk from the store, you can keep it for a couple of weeks.
Right.
You can't do that with raw milk.
No, you can't.
And the concern is obviously the possible exposure to bacteria.
Right.
I don't know, but if you haven't noticed how a cow is shaped, its udders are rather close to the ground.
That's true.
where the excrement comes out. So, you know, there's a lot of possibility of milk picking up bacteria, which is why they
man.
Do pasteurization.
You dodged some landmines right there, Melissa. Nicely done.
Thanks for reminding me where milk comes from, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
it. You were confused about that, yeah. Seth.
I could see somebody milking a cow right in front of me, and it wouldn't prevent me from drinking milk. Like, I love milk. I love it.
Yeah, and there are, you know, there's, for those who choose to drink raw milk, that's, you know, that is your choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unless it's illegal in your state, then you should not do it. Yes.
It's illegal to transport or to sell it retail.
Right, right.
You can still have, go to your local dairy, some nearby, and buy it.
Yes, exactly.
Buy part of a cow, not part of the cow, but like part owner of said cow, and then you can get the milk legally as well.
You looking for some raw milk? Well, I got some raw milk over here.
I got this part of a cow over here.
I got some from over east. I got some here.
Okay, so with this new added concern of the H5N1 virus in cattle herds, that is what they're calling it instead of the avian bird flu, mm-hmm. because it's in cattle, you may want to use pasteurized milk right now. There's no information on whether the virus can be transmitted to humans through drinking raw milk, but the FDA is recommending that you don't. Granted, they always recommend that you don't. And in my opinion, for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've got strawberry, I got chocolate, I got no. The other issue that causing some concern in these is that there's only 33 dairy herds across 8 states with confirmed cases of H5N1 virus. However, according to an article on scientificamerica.com published on April 26th, the fact that virus particles are found in milk being sold to consumers is leading experts to think the avian flu could be more widespread than initially thought.
Now, the U.S. federal rules require that milk from infected cows be discarded. According to the FDA website, the FDA and USDA have indicated that based on the information we currently have, our commercial milk supply is safe because of both the pasteurization process and that milk from sick cows is being diverted or destroyed.
But what about the cows? An article on thinkglobalhealth.org titled "Cattle Veterinarians Express Confusion Over U.S. Response to Bird Flu." It was published on April 25th. The author, Rachel Neuer, spoke with Beth Thompson, a state veterinarian in South Dakota. Thompson said, "This is not a previously reported disease in dairy cows, so there isn't nearly enough data available on how it's affecting animals." Thompson says, "How is it moving through dairies? How quickly do animals recover? What does it look like when they recover? All these questions and more need to be answered."
Another issue is that the reporting of sick cows is voluntary. The symptoms include loss of appetite, dehydration, and a drop in milk production. In several cases, the milk the cows produce looks kind of yellow and more vicious. But so far, the cows are not dying with the virus. It seems to mostly affect middle-aged to older lactating cows. Younger heifers can shed the virus in their milk, but they don't show signs of being sick.
They also don't know how the virus is being transmitted. Joe Armstrong, a veterinarian at the University of Minnesota, said, "We know that it's circulating in cows, so it's no longer avian. It's bovine. The USDA is encouraging minimizing movement of cattle, upholding good biosecurity practices, and testing animals before moving them to limit disease spread. But this is putting a serious strain on farmers. Cattle get moved around a lot."
And there's no support system in place yet, like the compensation given to poultry farmers who have had to depopulate their flocks infected with highly pathogenic avian flu. Farmers are not being compensated for milk production losses. Joe Armstrong said, "Denial and lack of communication and collaboration among dairy farmers, politicians, industry representatives, and veterinarians is another major problem, one that exacerbates issues with data collection and resources."
There is some good forward motion going on this issue. The USDA recently began paying for pre-movement testing of H5N1 in cows. This started late this month, but Beth Thompson said significant funding gaps remain at the state and federal level.
So the bad news is lots of cows are probably infected and we don't know how it's being transmitted.
Correct. But the good news is there's only been one human case of the avian flu, and he basically just had some redness in his eyes and has since recovered down in Texas. According to FDA.gov, posted April 26th, epidemiological signals from our CDC partners continue to show no uptick of human cases of flu and no cases of H5N1, specifically beyond the one known case related to direct contact with infected cattle.
Is it bad news that they're finding virus particles in the milk supply?
The FDA said on Saturday that they've received additional results from the initial limited set of geographically targeted samples as part of its national commercial supply, milk supply sampling underway in coordination with the USDA. The FDA continues to analyze this information. However, preliminary results of egg inoculation tests on quantitative polymerismic chain reactions, positive retail milk samples, show that pasteurization is effective in inactivating HPAI.
Huh?
The additional testing did not detect any live infectious virus. These results reaffirm the FDA's assessment that the commercial milk supply is safe.
Oh, now that I understood. Oh, good. Yes, chocolate milk for dinner tonight. Yeah.
But it is bad news that dairy farmers aren't getting enough direction or support in dealing with this virus infecting their animals.
This is where I have permission to get on my soapbox. Thank you, Mel. And urge you to contact your representatives if you're concerned about this. You can easily find the information on myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. Or by visiting the Wisconsin State Legislature website. Enter your address on either of those sites, and you'll have the contact information of your local representative.
Mm. Well, and in the dairy state, you think this would be something that people would be concerned about, and they should be.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't, you know, so far there's been no reported, detected, confirmed cattle herds in Wisconsin affected with it. But like it said, you know, there's no incentive for farmers to report it.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know how it's transmitted. So, yeah.
Right. I do think that that's one of the early things that we could do to be better, more proactive about this is having it not be voluntary and having this be something that we require
absolutely.
To be reported on.
This is about food safety. Yeah.
But then also to have the support there in place to give the farmers the incentive to, yes, report it. Let's tackle this problem.
And if there is a loss on that farm of cows, having them have security and insurance to be able
absolutely.
To back that up and everything. There's so many layers to this when it comes to this, too, that I don't. Granted, Melissa did incredible work on this subject and everything.
But this is just scratching the surface.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And especially when it comes to the farmer's perspective of this, I imagine. So we always love to hear from you guys. And if any of you out there have any feedback on this one, love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Please reach out to us.
You know, there's a theme in a lot of these that we've been doing recently about this food supply in general and the safety of it. That's something we really, really need to look at and keep very vigilant.
Huge country, you know, and we're transporting our food across it on a pretty regular basis. And cattle, like we said earlier, get moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Calves are born at one location. They don't have the equipment and the facility there to house those calves, so they get moved to another place. And then, you know, the heifers get moved somewhere else when they get older and start lactating. So the cattle are moved around all the time.
Mm-hmm. We have a call coming in. We'll take it in just a moment.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today for another segment of The Kitchen's Open. If you'd like to become a sponsor for the segment, contact Pam at the front desk.
That number is 715-424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley and work out the specifics.
We would love to feature your business during the segment. Just call 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Let's see if we have anything continuing the conversation. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, good morning, folks. And this upcoming Sunday is the 4th of May.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And I'd like to tie your milk segment in with the blue milk that is now available.
Well done.
I think the intergalactic, the Rebel Alliance and everybody is out to kill that avian and or bovine flu.
Yes.
So we got that going.
Yep, yep.
With that blue milk.
It's the blue milk. With the blue milk. Nicely done. Nicely done.
It is quite delicious.
What does it taste like?
Would be it has the texture of eggnog, but the flavor of a vanilla milkshake.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Interesting.
If I wasn't going to be sick for a week, I'd try it.
Excellent, Matt. Thank you so much for the reporting. Nicely done.
Nicely done.
Always good to talk to you, brother. Have a good morning.
You too, bud.
Appreciate that. Perfect. That is fantastic. That's really good. And another amazing job, Melissa. Thank you so much for the fantastic
good
work
stuff.
You do on that segment.
Thanks for playing along, guys.
It's not just great writing, but it's great reporting, Melissa. Good work. Be listening every Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open right here on WFHR. Tell me something good.
Hey.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. Oh, we're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news for you right now before we get to our news break. Keep in mind, a little bit later, we're going to get into 10 things everyone does but never talks about. Keep it on the hush.
Yes.
We do want to send a shout out to Willie Nelson. Happy 91st birthday to one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greater personalities of all time, Willie Nelson.
Just by being himself.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. There is a billion great stories about Willie Nelson. None of them I can really read on the air.
Not a lot of them.
But I do encourage you to go ahead and check out a bunch of great things. You know, learning, I think one of the fun things to do on a day like this, certainly listening to some Willie Nelson. Maybe you want to see some of the performances he did in movies. I like looking at live footage and live concert work and everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, random facts about any of these people is always interesting.
Always
it's always fun to learn something new about somebody who we've all known our whole lives. We're losing more and more of those artists, more and more of those creatives that have been around literally our whole lives and we grew up with. So it's always nice to win one of them is still with us, be able to take a note, tip our cowboy hats to Mr. Willie Nelson. Also wanted to touch on this. A lot of comedians struggle with political correctness in their routines, but Jerry Seinfeld says it isn't a problem if you just think about what you're saying. He told Page Six, quote, political correctness is something of a worry for people that can't think. They think stupid mistakes that are offensive. So how do you avoid making stupid mistakes? Jerry says it's easy. Pick up a paper, find out what's going on, and just navigate around it. Mm-hmm. It's really not that hard.
No.
As a matter of fact, we do it every day.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We've been doing it for a long time on this station, a long time. Mm-hmm. Years back when Carl and I were given the show, well, had to take over the show. We were put in the awkward position that we had to take over. And the inmates are going to run the asylum now. So there was a couple of things him and I believed in right out the gate. We are not doing negative. We are going to do positive shows. I don't care how it comes across to the audience. We're going to be positive. There are also some people politically that we're not going to highlight. We're not going to talk about every day. Plenty of people are doing that. We're not going to do that. There are things that we're still doing to this day. Now, all of that is a great idea on paper. Then you get into it. Oh, I've got to create content for 16 different segments every day. And I can't swear, I can't be offensive, I got to make sure that I appeal to as many people as humanly possible, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is a lot of the things that there, and I can understand how if you've never done this stuff before, or if you're used to doing just whatever you want, that can be difficult. But if it comes down to this, to a comedian, and again, I've been around a lot of comedians, and I see it in every one of them, is it about you, or is it about making the audience laugh? The ones that it's about them and getting their 5 seconds of fame or anything like that, I think you can all tell pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And most of them don't have much of a career. But the ones that are just trying to make people laugh, they just want to make people laugh or something like that. So many of them take the time to think. And that's all it takes. And notice Jerry didn't say you have to be a comedic genius or an idiot savant or something like that. All you got to do is think. That's it. And most of the time, if you're thinking something like, I've been in a lot of comedian rooms, including even on the Conan show, where somebody has, I got something. They say it in dead silence. Dead silent. Okay, moving on. Not going to do that one. Like, you know this stuff instinctively. And I think that most of the comedians out there, that all they care about is lighting fires. And it's trying to offend audiences and that, they let you know who they are.
They're not paying attention.
Those aren't comedians. Those are wannabe politicians. Those are people that are probably going to get into politics.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's hope not.
Because they fail as comedians. They need a job.
Boring politicians. I would really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty noteworthy from him. That was pretty cool.
And he's pretty successful, you know, decently successful. He may know what he's talking about.
Seems like it. Seems
hey,
like.
I've heard of him, so he must be successful.
Nicely done. I did want to remind everybody, it is a Muppet Monday. Go ahead and download your favorite Muppet podcast with What the Muppet. Whether you find it on YouTube, just type into your search bar, What the Muppet, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Bree and I have a lot of fun with this one, and we appreciate all of you subscribing and supporting the work that she is doing. We are doing, but really she's doing over there. I encourage you to stick around and check out more What the Muppet. We got plenty, a lot of great things in store
for
you.
Okay, I need to know what the title of this week's show is.
Flower Crown. A Flower Crown.
They're so. I love it because it's so intriguing. Now you want to figure out what?
Yeah.
I want to know what that is.
And I guarantee, especially with this one, I guarantee as soon as you hear the Muppet that is featured in this one, it is, oh, yeah, Flower Crown. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, makes perfect
but
sense.
But still,
man.
I love it. Love it.
I did want to also remind everybody to it is go night. It is an audition night, everybody.
Ooh.
Disney's Newsies Jr., a part of HOPO and a part of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. This is going to be auditioning tonight.
It's the first night of auditions.
Yeah. Yeah. Gretchen Powers is directing this one, one of our creative directors, and of course, executive director over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Auditions today and tomorrow from 5 to 8 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Auditorium.
That's yep. Great.
If you've ever wanted to get your kids involved in play, if they've been involved in plays, if your kids are driving you crazy.
get them out of the house this summer. Yes. It's a great way to do it.
Give them the Gretchen.
Yes. What a great show, too. Newsies is going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just real quick, a little aside here. I just want to publicly thank Gretchen Powers and her family. For being very generous to my family this weekend. They did something above and beyond, and I have to say a big thank you to them. So,
And any of us that knows her is not surprised.
Yeah.
Gretchen puts a lot into this community, into this theater, and into our almost everybody she knows lives.
Yep.
And that is the kind of person that you are entrusting your kid with.
That's right, absolutely.
And you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
You feel pretty good about it. And they're going to have a great time. I guarantee you that. They'll enjoy themselves. Just like we guarantee, and you will enjoy yourself at Rumors. That's right around the corner, guys.
This weekend.
This weekend, May 3rd, is when it premieres.
Opening weekend.
Opening weekend for Rumors. Ooh. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Otherwise, you can get them the day of right at the auditorium. Encourage you to take in this show. Buy local, support local, and that includes the arts, everybody.
Yep. And I want to say, as someone who's been in the show before, and this is extremely funny. It's hilarious.
Yes.
It is a hilarious show.
It's a great show.
Not like the last one. Okay, that was a little heavy. Last one was a little heavy. This one, lots of laughs in this one, though.
It was a very good one, though, that last one. Very good. And this one will be, too.
Yeah.
Help us wrap up the main stage season with Rumors. Break a leg and shout out to all the cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy yourselves during this run.
Absolutely.
They have a great cast.
Find out more and get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We'll be back with more fun in the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great Monday out there. Happy start of the week to you. Fun stuff to take you through the rest of the hour. But right now, I got 10 things everyone does, but nobody ever talks about.
What are you talking about? I don't do those things. I don't do those.
This is going to be a very quiet conversation. What's a common human experience that no one ever discusses for some reason? Something we've all done, but no one talks about. Someone put together a list, and how many of these things have you experienced? And again, we encourage you, you all got the morning show play at home version, so please feel free to call up and join the conversation with things, especially if you have extras that you want to add to outside the lines here kind of things. Like when you get a call from a weird number and immediately Google it. I haven't done that. I haven't done that.
This
one.
Is what I do.
Google it.
If I have an area code that I am not familiar with, I immediately say, Alexa, what area code is blah, 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 thing? That's what I do. So it's similar, but not quite the same.
But that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
That's one of the best uses of that I've ever heard.
It is quite handy, actually.
I like that.
I usually just wait for it to go to voicemail.
Yeah, same. Yeah. When your flight doesn't board for an hour and you need to eat, but you walk to the gate first anyway, just to make sure it's there.
Oh my gosh, I do that every time.
Yep.
Well, you gotta know where it is.
Gotta know where it is.
And you get to pass all the restaurants on the way there, and they can decide what you want to eat.
I like that. You're breathing fine until you lie down and one nostril immediately closes up. It's not right.
It's not right, but it's true.
Sometimes it helps if you roll over to the other side, but that doesn't always fix it.
And then the other nostril,
plugs. Yep.
I've got one that's not on this list. How about when you're laying on the pillow and there's some noise that you hear? There's some weird noise or something like that. You don't know what it is, where it's coming from,
it's kind of muffled.
And so you sit there for a good
sound.
Exactly. You sit there for a couple. Seconds. What is that? Is that? Is it in my head? Is it in my brain? Am I actually hearing it?
Is it outside?
Few things question your sanity more than just this weird noise that you hear.
Strange
sounds. One pocket holds your phone and the other holds everything else. Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to have pockets.
True. Yes, good note. Very true. Good note. But yeah, no. Yep. Well, phones are so big that you can't put anything else in there.
The whole pocket if you
This is one of the weirder things to me. Everything in society goes from big to small. Everything does, except our phones. They started to.
It was heading that way.
It was going that way.
And then smartphones.
And everybody started to use their phones for everything but
else.
Making phone calls.
Right.
Well, I need a big screen if I'm going to watch.
It's a whole dang computer.
Yeah, exactly.
When you swallow water in a weird way and there's that excruciating pain in your chest that won't go away.
Yes.
That air bubble that just, you feel it all the way down.
It goes down the wrong tube.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Ouch.
It's the worst.
It's painful.
When you need a specific item at the grocery store, but someone's standing in front of it, so you pretend to shop for something else until they move.
Just so you don't look awkward.
I just did this weekend. I wanted some cheese nips, and I'm all gung-ho because I haven't had them in a long time. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some of those. There was a guy standing there going through stuff, and he was taking his time. So I'm just standing there looking at the other things next to it. And then he gets to move and leaves. But I feel so mean saying this. He moved, and there was a stench that was there. And while there's nobody in front of the cheese nips, the stench was there. I just grabbed a bunch of like goldfish. I just like, no, I don't want to go.
All right, that's enough of that. I'm done.
I didn't even want it. It wasn't worth it.
It always happens in like the freezer section.
Mm.
Like when you get a pizza or something like that, and they're like right at the. So there's like a wall of frozen pizzas at every grocery store, and they're like at the one place I need to be. You know, right
always
there.
Always happens. The remote goes missing, and you're convinced someone else is sitting on it, even if after they check. Come on, fess up. Where's the remote? I don't know. You tell me where the remote is.
Yeah, the worst is when you lose the remote for about 6 months.
Yes.
Because
somebody stuck it on a shelf.
The random placing things down. Oh, yeah.
In a weird spot.
Yeah.
And then you order a replacement, and you get the replacement, and then you find the old one. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I did that once with my iPad. I had put it in the towel closet. Because I had picked up a towel and I'd set it, and I was like, what did I do with? Am I losing my mind?
There's so many things I've done that with. Yeah. So many things.
Well, you know, there's a place for everything. And when you don't put the things in their place, they're lost forever.
They're lost.
When you think there's a bug on your neck, but it's just the tag of your shirt.
Ooh, or a hair tickling.
Or a hair tickling on your shirt, yes. That's a weird feeling. That's a very strange feeling.
A hair anywhere inside your clothing, not good.
I get a haircut, and I need to take a shower almost immediately.
He's like scratching himself on the way home.
Yeah, I can't stand it. Drives me nuts. Let's see. That satisfying feeling when your ear randomly pops and your hearing increases like 50%.
You didn't even know it was plugged? What's that sound? No.
Yes. And when you walk into a store to buy something, but they don't have it, when you walk out, you feel like you're shoplifting and you've done something wrong.
Yeah, because you didn't buy anything.
You come in and it's like, you feel a little weird. Because it's like, that's what this thing is here for.
Are they going to wonder why I came in here and didn't buy anything?
What is that guy doing? Looks suspicious.
The
here at the Dollar Tree. What's it?
Yes. The idea of when you're rubbing your eyes you can't like concentrate on anything else while you're doing that.
Like you get an itch in your nose and you like compulsively do the, you know,
it's the only thing you can focus on.
Yes.
It's all consuming.
It is.
The way we judge people for how they search for things on search engines. That we don't say anything out loud.
Oh, no.
In our heads, we certainly do. how about especially if you've got a drink in front of you and nobody's around, especially if nobody's around, and you, no matter what age you are, you have to make bubbles.
I like that.
The need to do this.
It's only really satisfying in milk, though.
Yeah, because the bubbles stay. Because otherwise you're just making like a hot tub, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a throwback.
Or a cold tub.
Yeah.
a throwback. When you were when you would miss a day of school and you'd look at the clock and be like, oh, they're eating lunch right now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they're in math class right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
You're mentally in school anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this,
time flies so much faster when you're home.
Yep.
Yes.
Than it would have if you were in math class.
I've got all day in front of me, and then you turn around.
Like it's 3 o'clock already. How did that happen?
the idea too, and I think a lot of us feel this one too. But the idea, I had it, and I lost it. I'm gonna be honest with you guys.
Sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt you guys.
It happens. It happens.
That right there. That happens all the time, and we don't – for every time we tell people about it, there's times – no, I'm
we don't want to say – No,
I'm not going to say. No. I'm just going to keep this to myself.
No.
I had something that was going to be the most funny thing that has ever been said in radio history.
Most profound.
And I lost it, but I'm not going to tell anybody because I'm embarrassed and I forgot it.
Or when you do like what you just did, and you start, and then it's gone, and then you have to say
– brain fart.
And then you have to say, because people are like, what is he doing? You know?
Yeah. You have to buy time.
My mental train just derailed. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Empty boxcar.
There's another one. The arguments that we have in our heads with our brains. the way that we yell at our brains sometimes. And we treat our brain like it's a separate entity.
Come on.
Above us.
Come on.
Actually, it kind of is.
Kind of is.
It has mind of its own.
have to just say, thank you for that thought, brain. Now put the stopper in, because I need to move on with my day.
Enough of that.
Listen, brain, I don't like you and you don't like me, but we got to work together. Come
we
on,
do.
Let's get this done. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun wrapping up the show. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here. We're going to take you to the top of the hour, wrap up the show for the day. Encourage you to stick around, though. Matt and Air on the Air coming up. A lot of other great programs for you.
Mm-hmm.
Get into more of that in a moment. But first, that ain't right story before we get to our good stories of the day.
All right.
A man in Pennsylvania named Barry got two pieces of tax information in the mail last week. First, there was a refund check from the federal government for $900.
Nice.
The second one was a tax bill saying he owed the state $34
billion. What?
That's
billion?
B. Yeah,
with a B?
Billion. Yes.
What?
Barry says he had a feeling there might have been a blunder, especially since he makes less than 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, Barry's tax prepper noticed a mistake on his 2022 return and filed an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how the $34 billion error was made, if the tax prepper made a mistake, or if there was a glitch in the tax system.
Mm.
In any event, he was able to get through to the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue and get the situation resolved actually pretty quickly.
That's good.
Well, that's surprising and good.
Right. Oh, yeah. They said it was an isolated incident that involved the wrong numbers being imputed.
Yep. Yeah.
I would have guessed it would have been numbers related.
Who knew the entire state budget of Pennsylvania is paid by Barry? Man, that's
on you, Barry.
Yeah, good for you, Barry.
What do you do for a job? Because I'd like to apply.
Barry's heart is still just still like.
Can you imagine looking at the? Oh,
like we're lucky Barry's alive.
That's so outrageous to the point of no.
It's like obviously there's a mistake here. Yeah.
I mean, if it had been like 30,000, Then it might have had more of a heart attack.
That's true.
100% agree with you guys. 100%. Except if you're talking about this happening to me. Like, if it's me, it's at least a minute or two before it registers in my brain that this is way too much. Because I'm immediately thinking of everything wrong I've ever done.
Mr. Mailoff?
And at that point, we're doing CPR because you've stopped breathing.
Yes.
Mr. Mailoff, we're sorry to inform you that your entire family has always been wrong on their taxes. And you owe us $34 billion.
I don't know who this James is. Who are you talking about? That ain't right. We
that
need
is
a
an obviously one. Fake accent, Mr. Mailoff. Will you please? No.
I don't know who this is. Maloof? What? We need a palate cleanser, and we're going to have one for you lined up today at 3 o'clock. Join us for Playmakers. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. We want to hear from you. It's our sports call-in show brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Go there for all your printing needs. Be sure to join us today. We'll have some fun. Tyler's going to join us from the Rafters, so we'll get an update on them and some fun things that they have going on over there. Do want to continue to talk baseball a little bit, as baseball has finally owned up to the whole jerseys thing that's been going on.
Finally.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit. We'll talk some more sports as well. It's just got done with the draft. I want to talk about draft with everybody. Plenty to talk about. It's going to be a lot of fun. Join us from 3 to 4 every Monday for Playmakers. And keep in mind, everybody, that our afternoons, we're tinkering with a little bit.
We are.
Yeah. So we'll have more on that. Stay tuned. Keep on listening. More to be continued. And, of course, forever how long it is, and it might not be that long, but forever how long the Bucks are in the playoffs, we will be covering their games.
Yep.
We have a game lined up for you Tuesday. We'll get that time out there to you right away. Maybe a little bit later today during Playmakers we'll be able to do
all right.
We have some local things going on in the area we want to touch on. One of them happening tomorrow. We always encourage you to support the arts. And our friends over at Rams, all the great kids over there, got a concert going on tomorrow. Rams Orchestra Concert featuring grades 6, 7, and 8 will be going on tomorrow at 6:30 at the beautiful Rams Auditorium.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools have their Bandorama at the Lincoln High School Fieldhouse coming up Monday, May 6th at 6:30.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
All bands 6 through 12.
Yes, and if you have not seen that, it's awesome.
It's a really good
I can't movie. Wait, because of course my son is in it, and I love that. It's one of my favorite things.
It's a really cool one. Yep. Again, encourage you to take in any of these shows whenever you get a chance, everybody. Be sure to do so. And we'll talk more about them and let you know when they're coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends at the United Way have a great opportunity coming up, Seth, that we want everyone to be a part of. And your days to register are numbered.
Yeah, that's right. It's the United We Can event, which is always, which, by the way, is a great name for it, too. But the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, their annual United We Can Food Sculpture Contest will be happening at Witterfield on Tuesday, June 18th. Participating teams will compete using hundreds of donated food and basic need items to build sculptures. After the event, the Southwood County Hunger Coalition will distribute the donated items to local food programs, adding to the 72,496 pounds of food the event has leveraged since 2013.
That's awesome.
And we want to remind you, like James just said, if you register your team by May 1st, that's Wednesday, you will be entered to win a Kraft River tickets for a 2024 Rafters game. If you have not done that yet, the Kraft area, it's fun.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. So do it. Get your team together. Get signed up. All you have to do is contact our good friend Ben at 421-0390. You can email Ben at uwswac.org. Go check out their website, uwswac.org. For more information.
Mm-hmm. Also, keep in mind that our friends over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin are always looking for great volunteers out there, people that want to put back into their community, help out some of our great individuals out there, whether it's senior dining or Meals on Wheels or maybe being a part of some of the programs that they offer. Encourage you to reach out to our friends at the ADRC. It's one of the great uses of your time you can have. Mm-hmm. You can get in touch with them at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org.
All right.
Want to touch on some world good stories of the day. And while this one isn't really under the good stories of the day category, I think it's a good story and I just wanted to share it. And we talked a little bit about it on the Sunrise Show. I firmly believe there are no coincidences in life, but sometimes fun things just happen. So two babies named Johnny Cash and June Carter were born at the same time in the same hospital on the same day this month.
What? What?
It happened April 10th in Huntsville, Alabama. June Carter Clark was born at 2:30 p.m., weighing at 6 pounds, 12 ounces. And then Johnny Cash Davis arrived at 9:50 p.m., weighing 7 pounds and 2 ounces. Both sets of parents are fans and couldn't believe it when they found out about the other.
That is remarkable.
So they didn't know each other.
Yeah. No. Oh, wow.
Baby June's dad is named Carter, so it was also a nod to him.
June Carter. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
And baby Johnny's dad is Johnny, so they're just going to plan on them calling him Cash.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
And that immediately becomes one of the coolest babies ever.
Yes.
Like, just immediately.
Cash Davis.
Yeah. I mean, dang, that's a name.
That's a good one.
They say they all want to stay in touch over the years and keep in touch and everything. So we'll see how this ends up. I'd love to be in 20 years from now and see if these two would even know each other.
Or their friends or even friends, weirdly enough get married. That would be
right,
weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The original Johnny and June were married for over 35 years and before she passed away in 2003. And, of course, famously, Johnny passed away 4 months after that later in September. I think one of the better love stories in entertainment history when it comes to those two. So that's just – I just had to share that.
That's a fun story.
Really cool.
That's fun.
That's beautiful.
It's a fun story. Hot dogs saved a guy's life in Omaha, Nebraska on Friday.
What?
That's something here.
That's you a weird that flex one. For a hot dog. Yeah.
A tornado destroyed his house, but he was out buying hot dogs at a gas station when it happened. He was in surprisingly good spirits when he talked to a reporter about it. He said he was just happy everyone in his neighborhood survived. Mm. Quote, stuff can be replaced, but family is everything.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what a great perspective. Yeah.
That is. That's awesome. And some of the drone footage, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but yeah, that was devastating. What happened.
It's hard
to hear that.
It is something that I personally have never gotten used to, seeing the devastating footage from tornadoes and everything.
No.
The thing that only shocks me and surprises me even more is the reaction of some of the people when these things happen, and they react like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. None of us can know what that's like unless you've actually been in that situation.
Not at all.
And to see human beings handle that like that, and that's, you got a reporter shoving a microphone in your face. Hey,
right.
hey, you're in one of the most emotional, vulnerable situations of your life.
Yeah, your house was just smashed.
Tell me how you feel. And you come up with something like that.
My family's alive. And that's all that matters.
That's great.
Beautiful. You're not going to find many more beautiful moments in human history than things like that. Well done to them.
Mm-hmm.
24 years ago, a cop in Indiana named Gene Eister saved a baby boy after someone abandoned him in a cardboard box. Now they're in the news after Gene found out the kid grew up to become a police officer himself.
Oh, how about that?
24-year-old Matthew Hegedus Stewart is a rookie with the same police department Gene worked for.
Oh. How about that? That's a remarkable.
Beautiful story,
yeah,
man.
Nice.
This is really cool. Gotta love these stories. And there's so many other great, good stories out there. We encourage you to reach out and let us know them. We want to hear them from all of you. Get them to us, everybody.
Yeah.
We encourage you to do that. Tomorrow on the show, Melissa and I will be hanging out together. We'll have some fun. Got some good things lined up for you. Be listening for that. And on Wednesday, we'll get the team back together here. We'll have some more fun with our Quality Plus Birds, Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, and much, much more.
Woo.
You two have a good day.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.